Tonight's title is called Too Much Information. It was originally titled Bitch, Bitch, Bitch. Because I spent a whole week with people complaining. Bitch, bitch, bitch. They were complaining like we've heard several people say before. How am I supposed to keep up with what you're saying? First you talk about personal being, then an eternal self, then an illuminated being, then a universal being. Now you're talking about loner body and self, and a stem cell. You're too far out there. I can't keep up. I got tired of hearing that. I heard that four times this week. So, you do understand that my emprise in life is to try to discover how the universe works. And as I've said before, I'll be willing to tell you what I've discovered. But I don't want to take abuse for that. So, either keep your abuse to yourself, or, well, the point of this is this. What image or concept of yourself and life do you have? It's a simple question. But, here's what religion said. Our God made you, and our God made the universe. Therefore, he's the big mahaf. And if you don't fear God and obey God, then he'll smite the hell out of you. Then Jesus came along and said, no, I have a loving Father, and he'll love you. But of course, if you sin, then he won't give you everlasting life, and you'll go to hell. Well, that's just as simple as that, and you've been living that for a long, long time. What image or concept of yourself and life do you have? If you want a simple thing, if I'm too much out there or too much information, I can't simplify it to that. Sorry. So, then, what image or concept of yourself and life do you have that doesn't include religion's God will smite you? You gotta fear God. You gotta love him and fear him at the same time. Would anyone like to offer what is your concept of life? Oh, we're really going to speak tonight. This is going to be a wonderful conversation. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just stuck with that. I don't know that I have a dramatically different or original. I think I still live a lot of what you said somehow, even if I don't acknowledge it consciously.
So you're really willing to say that just maybe that is the concept of your life that you're living?
Much as I don't like it. Yes, I think I'll...
Well, wait a minute. Don't tell me you don't like it. If you're still living it, you must like it.
I don't know if like is the word.
Well, what's the word? You said don't like it.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, I tend to notice there's this, like, it's interesting reading the thing you sent out about the loner body and the beliefs you've inherited, because I feel like sometimes it's like that thought, that belief, a story about the universe is so habitual, so, I don't know if it's hardwired, it's just, it's almost there when I don't even think about it. I don't know where it comes from.
But you were one of those people I included. If you don't like that, let's say what I've been saying, and if you don't like what religion is saying, what the hell do you like? What image of or concept of yourself and life, I don't say necessarily that you are living. What concept of yourself and life do you want? And if you come back and say, well, I don't know.
Never thought about it, yeah?
Well, I've asked this at every gathering just about for years.
Yeah,
and the point is, if you don't know, what you're doing is you're taking everything I say and comparing it with what religion has said, and you've accused me or whatever's going on as being a problem because you've defended with every breath of your life what religion says. Yet now you say, well, if I don't like that, then what are you defending? Or why are you arguing against what I'm saying? What concept of life do you want? If you don't want that one, well, then tell me, what the hell do you want?
You know, like I said, I've never really thought about it as something I had a choice in. I mean, even to this day, after all everything, you know, we've talked about the last couple of years, I hadn't really sat down and thought about what I would want different. But I want something different. I just...
Why not? How long has it been? 18 years? 15 years? Why not? When are you going to decide that's the point of tonight's presentation? When are you going to decide that you even have a choice?
I think that may be the best.
You're bitching at me because you think you don't have a choice. And I'm saying you have a choice. Stop bitching at me. And if it's too big, if your concept of life is too big, you see, what I said is, discover how the universe works. That includes whether you're alive or dead, doesn't make any difference. What if you think what we're talking about in terms of your life is too big, what if death is even greater? And I guess that really the question is, do you want to start death as unprepared as you were when you started this life?
No.
Well, it sounds like it.
Why?
If you defend what religion has said and you don't like that, then you're going to start your death, whatever it is, even if you get any start in that regard, because it seems to me that what religion says is, hey, you got to do what God says or else you ain't going to have no life.
Right.
You want to jump in here, Patrick?
Well, I don't know if I'd be taking things backwards or adding to the bitch session, so I've been measuring whether or not I should talk for the moment, but...
Well, how would we know unless you jump in?
Well, you know, it for me, we had a conversation about it a bit yesterday, but it still revolves around, you keep on talking about you. And I'm coming to the place of saying that the universal being that I am doesn't know death. So why should... I'm the you you're talking to. Why should universal being give a shit about death? I don't understand why that would be an issue. It doesn't know death.
Because, all right, then you would start after your death as ignorant as you were in life today.
But I won't be aware of it.
Well, number one is, what if you have to live your universal self, actively live that, or it doesn't make any difference? You see, you just pick up on a word and say, you talk about my universal self. No, I talk about your living as a universal being? What if you don't do that?
Then I would be living in this loner body with the loner stem starter self that my parents gave me, and I'll probably continue to struggle against pieces and aspects of that until this body gives up.
And then what? Then do not assume what Jesus said or these other guys have talked about. Don't assume that then after that, at death, all is forgiven and now you're a great wondrous being.
I think you finally convinced me that Patrick Disco's wink and it's gone, and this universal being that embodied goes on. It's an interesting experience.
That universal being does what?
The universal being will have had another experience of embodiment and what it's like to be taking action or not.
But there's no Patrick, and there's no Patrick that is a universal being. Then what?
Well, that Patrick's not going to be aware of that anyway.
So it won't matter.
That point, I don't understand why, you know, if I'm snuffed out, Patrick, the personality that I know, ends at the death of this body, we don't carry on, I don't carry on, why I don't understand yet why eternal or universal being would be at all concerned, because death is a meaningless concept for universal being.
I'm not trying to argue against universal concepts. I'm trying to say, what concept do you have, and are you willing to live today? Because the conflict of not really having, well, it doesn't make any difference, thus, therefore. But it does make a difference in your life today. It makes a real, real big difference in your life today. I don't know how to get that across.
Actually, I get that. It makes a big difference in my life today when I actually decide that I am a universal being embodied in this body.
No, 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 no. I repeat what I said. When you live, not when you say you are. The universe doesn't care what you say you are. It is only responsive to how and in what way you live that.
Yes. Thanks for correcting me on that. It's very, very vitally important that it is in the living, in the action. Yes, thank you.
So then, what does that action mean? Does that action mean, first of all, that you have to have an image of something beyond this life?
I know you've showed us that, but I'm not entirely convinced at this moment that's necessary.
How could you at this moment live as a universal being without somehow an image of some ilk after death?
Good question.
This is a question I've brought up from the get-go in then trying to say that people don't seem to care in their life today beyond the next 20 or 30 years. Women get to be 60, men get to be over 50, something like that. Then everybody says, well, what the hell is this all about? What's the meaning of my life? And so then they seem to be that people coast downhill because there's no answer to that. I'm trying to then encourage you. If we're saying what is life all about, is trying to find out what life is all about, such that there is a way and a manner in which you don't run downhill.
Yeah,
Yep, and why is it, I don't at this point understand how an eternal view now, given that I don't survive, and given that eternal being, or a universal being, sees death as a meaningless event, it seems like I'm putting it, by like starting to talk about myself being eternal, I'm putting a carrot out the end of a stick here in front of me to try to enliven my life. I'm finding some logical inconsistencies there that I'm hoping to resolve in one way or another.
Such as?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Such as?
I say that the fact that I do not continue, and that the universal being finds death as a meaningless concept. So what's eternal about Patrick? And why ever would I be concerned about that, given that I do not survive death, and that eternal being or universal being doesn't even notice death?
Because what I think you're trying to do is to say, okay, I'll stop worrying about that, but you still, that is fundamental in your concept of yourself and life, and you're trying to work around it.
No, actually, that my experience of this is in, since I've been toying these things around in my mind, I seem to be more empowered that somehow or other, then that I seem to have, maybe in a sideways way without even realizing it, released more of the hold of my religious upbringing, and that that's just a bunch of meaningless pap, and that I can focus on doing and being as I desire at all times.
But
there is nobody.
What if you can say you can do as you truly desire at all times, but maybe here we got to back up a step first. I have not spoken of eternal universal self. I've discussed particular universal, abiding particular universal self. I've never said, even in a universal self, that there is a continuation of you.
Yes, that's correct. You've said that, yeah.
Okay, so then is it possible that you've done is only replaced the eternal self with an eternal universal self, which I've never said. I've never said eternal. I will say, probably at one time I may have said eternal, but what I'm really talking about is a particular universal self, and that does not imply eternal. What I said was, it is eternal is of no concern to an abiding particular self. What if that's so? What is the image? What are the implications of that?
Well, then I think we need to talk some more about what is meant by an abiding particular universal self.
Okay.
That something arrives emergent from the or broadly held mind or mind and becomes particular. Does it only become particular for one embodiment?
What if that's so? What if that's so? You can't presume otherwise. Because when you presume otherwise, all you've done is disguise your original religious concepts of eternal and living eternal.
Well, then I think with that understanding, it reinforces my thinking that as a random event in the universe, the universe universal particularizes in this particular embodiment. So that means that when this body winks out, so does the particular universal wink out, except I don't know how to fit abiding into that.
Okay, but then when you, as you did several weeks ago, and as since then, we say, well, wait a minute, you talk about a personal being, an eternal self, and an illuminated self, and a resplendent self, and an abiding self. Aren't you beginning to understand that my talking about those things are not too much information? They are information you need in order to make sense of yourself and life.
I hope I'm not being pedantic for everybody on the line here, but I think I've come to the point of seeing that there is no continuance of anything. So then I don't know why I should be worried about death, but for any reason.
I don't necessarily say, I don't necessarily disagree with you that, well, then there's no reason to worry about death. But the point is, you are, you do, you will, you base everything in your life today on that, and you have for 60 odd years. So, you screwed up this life based on that one concept, and just saying, I'm not going to worry about it, doesn't solve the problem.
Except that it's really not that I'm not going to worry about it. You've been very effective when I'm beating against this stubborn head of mine, that you finally got me to see that truly, 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 I do not continue.
Then what does happen? I haven't done that just to say you don't continue. What I've done is, if I can't get you off of, I must continue, I must be eternal, that's what I want. If I can't get you off of that, then we can't even maybe talk about what does occur. It's an example like that that I've given out several times this week. It doesn't do you any good to say, well, I don't like the God of religion, so God doesn't exist. Then what does exist? It doesn't do any good for Dawkins, the biologist from the UK, to say, well, religion is all wrong, God is all wrong, etc. But then what is right? What is right or good or better, best for you? I'm not trying to do this, but just to be pissy about it. But if I can't get you to even think other than, well, religion says God does this, and they've been saying that for 10,000 years, so, and you come along and you expect in 10 moments to solve the problem. No, I'm saying, if that's wrong, then what for you would be right?
Hey, Raj, I'll weigh in on that.
Good.
It's been so long since we've talked about this. I guess when you asked me the question, I forgot. I think the thing that most people on this call wanted, and doesn't seem like you've allowed for that option, if you asked me what I wanted, it would be that, you know, the self that I'm aware of now would continue. And that seems to be the primary concern.
Then there you are. Then you want to continue.
Right. You asked what I wanted. That's what I'm saying.
And I'm saying, then religion knew that that's what you wanted all along. So religion structured the answer to that question relative to God, and that you had to do right and obey God. You had to do right and obey God as a father. Then you're kind of stuck, because what it says is, if you don't honor and love and fear God and do right, and you don't know what right is, but don't sin, but who decides what's a sin? You don't know that. Then you don't have everlasting life.
Why must? See, I don't think it has to be that the continuance of me requires religion, does it?
What?
I could certainly come up with something that doesn't require the religious.
Well, tell me. I've asked you a dozen times, what is your concept of life? Then come up with something. You haven't.
Right. That's kind of the point. I'm saying, on the spot now, I haven't really come up with one. But I'm just saying, I think that when you ask what I want and I say I don't know, it's probably more that I want what I just said and don't.
But what you just said put you right back into religion. Is that what you want? Because you then...
Must it put me into religion? Why can it not give me options for lots of other things?
Because it doesn't. If what it says fundamentally that you must obey God to live or earn or gain everlasting life.
No, you're tacking that on there. I'm not tacking that on there.
What are you talking about then? When you say, then I guess that's what I want. What are you saying? That's what religion says.
I'm just saying that I, you know, the self I know and am aware of, the awareness that I seem to cherish here, continues or doesn't, I don't lose that.
How does it continue? There's no concept of life after death that says that continues. There's nothing you want to just go through life saying, well, okay, then it continues.
You must be understanding something here I'm missing, because when you asked me what I want and you didn't say that what I want includes religion, then I'm just saying, I don't know the concept that does that. I'm just telling you what I want.
Okay, you're telling me what you want, but what I'm saying then that you can't justify the wanting of that in any way. If you can, tell me so. And the only way you can justify that wanting is the concept of religion, unless somebody gives you some alternatives to that.
Don't quite understand what you mean by I cannot justify the wanting. I want it, period. There's no justification.
Yeah, so you want it. That's nothing to live.
That's what?
That's nothing to live. To live that you want something and there is no concept that you can have that is no way to live.
Well, I say, you're saying I can't substantiate anything about that.
That's right.
Well, I got you then. Okay. All right.
You want $1,000,000,000. So what? That only puts you into struggle because there's no concept of you're having $1,000,000,000. And what we're talking about here is your pains, problems, illnesses, body functions, death, and etc. is because you say, this is what I want, and you have no concept of ever having that.
Okay, I think I understand that. My primary concept seems to be that when the body dies, I'll die.
That's right, and unless you do the religious sort of stuff, and if that's one, because you don't have any other concept than the religious sort of stuff, then you take what I say, and try to make it fit that structure. What I'm saying is, well, here we've been 2,000 years since J.C. and maybe 6,500 years since Hinduism, 2,500 years since Buddhism, only 1,400 years of Islam. Where does any of that show up in a decent life for anyone today?
I wish you'd said that from the beginning, because now I understand what you're talking about. I got you.
Well,
right. Any concept that I have, every concept that I might think of will fall into the framework, at least my experiences so far, falls into the framework of some Hindu, Christian, Buddhist, whatever religion.
Yes. That's right. You don't have a concept other than that. And if my enterprises say, well, let's discover how the universe works, I don't care how Buddhism works. I don't care how Jesus works or Muhammad works. We're trying to find out how the universe works is what I'm up against. And if you can find out how getting in tune with Jesus or Krishna doesn't mean squat.
Or the higher enlightened conscious state, yeah.
Okay. Then we have to put that to rest some way or another, or you'll always be throwing that up or morphing everything I say into that belief. How are you going to get rid of that belief?
Take it out in the field and shoot it?
Let's assume that that's true. Give me a practical way for you to get rid of that belief.
Seriously, practically, it would probably be to replace it with another one by completely living, thinking, and expressing another one.
You can't do that!
Can't? I thought the whole thing was...
You can't do that!
Oh, wait. So, wait, maybe I can't do that. I, the loner self, can't do that. Maybe if I... What? They give myself rebirth as another self or an additional self.
How are you going to do that? It's like I... Listen a minute. It's like I said to Patrick, can you build a race car while sitting in the middle of the race car? The answer is obvious.
That's a really good one.
Then you can't change yourself while sitting in the middle of yourself.
That's a really good point. Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Then why do you say but?
Because I hadn't thought it through all the way.
You have.
I just got to hold on to myself.
You have said for 10 years now, well, of course you can't know yourself because it's too incestuous.
I love that one, yep.
Yeah, that's what you've said for 10 years. Now, all of a sudden, you say, well, no, I don't care how incestuous it is. I can change myself. No, you can't.
I forgot.
Well, don't forget. This is when you say, or others say, you're bringing up too much shit. No, I'm not. I am just trying to remind you that maybe some of this stuff that you said before is correct. Now put it together, and what does it portray? Maybe you don't want to change anything.
There's truth in that, yeah. But at the same time, I want everything else to change.
To suit you. It ain't gonna happen.
To me, right. I mean, I guess that's true. Everything is gonna change. But I want to change it to me.
Do you want to think about, challenge, or change the concept of a loner body created by your parents and loaned to you? Or are you willing to just live that?
Wait, could you say that one more time?
Do you want to challenge the concept relative to what we're saying now? Do you want to challenge the concept of a loner body created by your parents and loaned to you?
Don't want to challenge it?
Yes!
No, actually, not really.
Why? Why?
Because if I understand the loner body concept, doesn't that give me recognition?
Do you understand the concept of incestuous?
I do, yes.
Well, then maybe your loner body and all of that deletes incestuousness.
Within the belief of loner body, I don't call it loner body, so I thought you meant...
I called it loner body, so don't change it. I said, do you want to challenge the fact that it's a loner body? It ain't you, which makes it not incestuous.
Yeah, I like that. Let's stick with that. I want to try that. I do.
So then everything talking about a loner body, when I said, asked everybody, does a concept of a loner body change every or a concept of yourself in life? Doesn't that separate you from loner body such that you can act upon loner body, which otherwise you can't do because it's too incestuous?
Agreed. Good work.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Well, that it implies, no. I better be straight. No.
Okay. Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, I still get all sorted. I know you've told us all kinds of times that you got to be somewhat schizophrenic to be able to knit some of this stuff together. That who the hell is the one that, at any point in time, is there enough of the loner self to...
Is there what?
Without an embody... without the embodiment of a universal, abiding universal particular,
Wait a minute. Wait. Stop a minute. The issue in this has nothing to do with an abiding particular universal at all. I am just saying, could you not then say that the loner body is not you, or nor is it yours? Then could you not change that without incestuousness getting in the way?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that simply yes.
Different
position I think I've been aware of I could take the whole incestuous.
But that was the whole point of the loner body.
Thanks, Raj. I appreciate that.
What I said to you when it came up, is it possible that you are living or that you have a temporary or stem self body that you can particularize? And I then, 3 weeks later, gave you the article on loner body and an answer to that question. So then you, let's allow that, let's put you aside over here, you as a being could change your loner body. And you got to understand that years ago nobody knew anything about DNA at all, but along with your loner body came a loner self, and that ain't you either, and along with all of that became a loner environment of beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, actions, memories, and etc. And they aren't you. If they are not you, we have just overcome the problem of incestuousness, have we not?
We have.
And can we then say then that if you struggle against conflict, power, authority, or whatever, and Andrew struggles against Catholicism, neither one of those has anything to do with you. That's loner body. It has nothing to do with you. Doesn't that give you a fresh start in your life?
It does.
All right, but who is me then?
That's not the question yet. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Are you willing to say, at least I have the freedom from incestuousness to change the body, the self, the environment, and you got to better believe here right quick that that's important. and all of these things that were loaned to me. I don't have to be those. They were loaned to me. If you go to the car rental at a car rental, do you have to be the frigging car?
No.
Hello, anybody?
Right. Simone summarized it. No, we don't have to be the frigging car.
But, listen, haven't I said from the get-go that in a dream we understand that a vehicle or a car, even if it's a horse, represents yourself. And in the same way as you get into a car and go about doing your life and things, is the same as you, let's say for a minute, as a soul or self, gets into a loaner or rental car or rental loaner body and goes about doing yourself. The symbolism or the relatability of that is so much the same in that regard. So it's only a loaner body. You can take it back and say thank you very much, or you can purchase your loaner car and change it. Can you not?
That's where I get kind of confused. What is there about my body I can change that's going to change my life?
So then, I wrote a paper called Stem Cells, Stem Self, to illustrate to you so exactly that science and medicine can change your stem cells to change everything about your body. And that if you have an organ necessarily that needs to be transplanted, they can build an organ from stem cells based on a framework created at Boston Hospital in that regard, create a new ear and put it on. That is you, but not you, so you don't have transplant rejection going on. To try to point out to you that you can, yes, change every aspect of your loner body to be as you want and live that in that way. Is that okay? Why do you think, because you didn't have any information before, nor 2,000 years ago, why do you think you're stuck with your damn body? If I talk about loner body, oh, that changes everything in my life. If I can change my body, then I can change every aspect of myself. Well, how do you do that? Well, gee whiz, people never knew about DNA and genes and all of that. If I change my body, I then change my genes, and that alters the self that I'm living. Well, good for you. So, when you change your body, you change yourself. Or, if you change yourself, that then, in that regard, changes your body. Well, wait a minute. I got all these beliefs. Oh, I know that. But those are the beliefs that came along as part of your DNA. If you change your body, you change your DNA sequencing, then you've changed yourself, and in that you've then changed your beliefs. And you can start at any one of those three things as a beginning, or work them all together, and change yourself to be as you damn well truly desire. But I think somewhere in here it has to say, well, wait a minute, I better not make any moves until I know what I truly desire.
Yeah,
Well, haven't we been talking about that?
Yeah. Hey, Raj, I want to step in right now and take back what I said earlier. I'm really realizing what you just presented gave me everything that I actually always wanted. It was reminding me of how, like, when I was a kid, I used to run out in the backyard with my brothers and sisters, and I would always imagine myself as someone else. I mean, I wanted to change and try different things.
That's right.
You just gave me a way to do that, because honestly, I was talking about earlier, I want the self I know now to continue, but that's actually not as true as I said it is.
That's why I never discussed, you remember I said, all these changes, and here, let me go for an aside here. I've tried to get you guys involved in your dreams and understanding them. What I said last week is, this, according to this one little dream, Missy and I have changed the whole focus of our lives. That dramatically from one dream. That is how important your dreams actually are. And you all say, oh, wait a minute, anything. Maybe it... What?
Talking about the dream about the hospital, everybody's wearing red?
Yes. And we've then restructured everything we're going to be doing for the next 20 years on that one dream alone.
Wow.
And the point of it is... you probably got the same information out of your dreams, but you're just saying, well, what does this dream mean relative to what I already believe that I'm screwed in life? And you do. You believe you're screwed in life.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to turn that belief in for a new one.
Well, how about authority of self? But you don't believe that you have the authority, that God has the authority. Well, God damn it, then we have to deal with God. What do you think this is all about? You keep throwing this stuff up, then we have to deal with God. Your belief is on God, and Patrick's belief is on God, and everybody listening in is their belief is on God. It doesn't matter whether you believe there is a God or you don't. That you believe there is not a God, in either case, you're struggling against God. Why might that be?
Because we don't give ourselves an alternative.
No. Try again.
Because I sense the authority of myself.
Because you're living the beliefs of your loner body.
Mm-hmm.
And if you changed your loner body a long time ago, you wouldn't have this belief to deal with or struggle against or to control your life ever since. But, well, okay. Anytime now. It's never too late. You can't change your beliefs about God while living your loner body, because your loner body believes in the beliefs of God, and that's too incestuous.
I didn't know. That's interesting. I didn't realize that.
Of course. But when I sent that thing out about stem cells, to show you that it could be done, and in a sense how you can do it, nobody gave a shit. So what is this crap Roger's sending out? So we've never discussed that.
Well, it's too much information.
We don't like the font.
Well, that was the other thing. I don't like the font. Well, screw off. The reason for the font, among other things, is one, because I like it. And number two, to slow you down. And I don't care. If Sally doesn't like it, she can do anything she wants to. I don't really care. And the reason for the punctuation is twofold. One is that each a declaration and then even a combination of declarations into each small passage gives you small pieces to digest and understand at a time. Regular language goes on and on and on and on and on. I hope he gets to a fucking conclusion. All you have to do is read one declaration, and that stands by itself. Are we still alive out there?
Yeah, I got questions.
Yeah.
So the question is, if I can get you off of taxes long enough and paying your utility bill and your house bill and your medical problems long enough, are you willing to consider, well, what the hell's going to happen after death? Would you like to know?
Yeah.
Doesn't it interest you? Doesn't seem to be. But I said years ago, I don't care about your life today. I'm trying to give you a broader, expansive view of your life so that with that view in mind, you will live that view in everything you do today. But taxes and utility bills seem to prevail. Well, let's assume then that what if life after death is even greater than life of life? Huh? Isn't that of interest? This is the least, your life today is almost the least of what you need to know. If I'm giving you too much information now, boy, you'll be well overwhelmed entirely.
Can you hear me?
Huh?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good, because I tried a couple times to ask questions and it sounded like maybe we had accidentally gone on mute.
No, I didn't stop to give you a break that would allow you to break in, and I'm sorry for that.
Yes, it would be great.
Is that all you had to say?
But if it's not me, why do I care?
If what's not you?
If after death is, if death is so much greater than what we think of as life, if it's not me, why do I care?
Because I said to you as following, and I've said it many times, you do not continue. But you do
That's
not,
right.
But you do not not continue. Now are you interested?
Sure.
Well then,
yeah.
But you see, you take it to only, well, I continue or I don't continue, so what difference does it make? And all I just did is give you a third option. So now are you interested?
I want to know more about the third option, that's for
sure. Oh, well, you said, what difference does it make to me? I'm a universal being, and a universal being doesn't care. Well, why should I care? Oh, did you all of a sudden get interested? Well, can we then discuss the following thing? If you then do exist, or, well, we could say you do not not exist, which means that you do exist, or can possibly, somehow or other, do you suppose you have a body? And what kind of crap are you going to give me that I've heard since 50 years? Oh, I'm going to be a light body. Crap. Bullshit. What about dark matter? Dark matter doesn't have a light body. What makes you think you'll have a light body? Would you like to reconsider this? If you're going to have a body after life, what would be the nature of the body?
Well,
Does anybody want to venture a possibility? Is it possible then that if you do not have a body in this oneness, oh, well, you exist, but you don't really exist? Is that what you want? Oh, become one with God.
No.
Well, what the hell do you want then, Simone?
Maybe another body.
Well, what would it might be? You see, I've tried all along the way. See, religion is that, oh, you'll have a spiritual body. Well, what's that? Well, the mind of man can't know that. And all I've tried to do is to say, wait a minute. You can know that. Are you interested?
Sure.
Well, let's talk about what kind of a body could you have. Well, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Let me ask you a question. Do you suppose the universe has a body? And if the universe has a body, and if I've told you the body that it has, but if it does, is it possible that as anything that occurs on one level of life, there is an equivalence on every other level? Is it possible to say that if the universe has a body on that level, then maybe you have an equivalent body on your level? Maybe that you're talking about yourself and your own body is too incestuous for you to talk about. So let's talk about the body of the universe. Does the universe have a body? And it's starting to rain, and it sounds like it's going to be big drops and noisy. Would anyone like to give me an image of the universe that might or might not have a body?
Well, I think I heard you correctly that you said in the past that the universe operates in nature or exists in an environment of mind. Not space, but mind.
No, I didn't. And this is the trouble I keep going through. If you're going to say that I said, then please be certain that what you said I said, that I said. Because I spend all my time arguing, and then you've already got your thinkers up that I said it occurs in an environment of mind. I didn't say that. So then we have a big struggle before we can get back on talking. Would anybody else say what it was that I said, and why and how I said that? Can't hear you.
I can't recall it. Since you put cap to the question, I don't know that I would try to say what I think you said.
Well, then you're beginning to understand that every time we have a conversation, we're starting over again at your religious beliefs, and I have to struggle against that, and everything we've said just went down the tube, and we can't even proceed. Does that make sense? Well, why doesn't somebody say, well, why does the universe have to have a body? I didn't say it has to. But maybe there is something about, let's say the universe is infinite. Could it expand?
Quick answer is no.
Well, so then the universe is not infinite, then it must have less than infinite form, or something that defines it less than boundless or infinite. Is this reasonable?
That sounds reasonable, yeah.
If the universe is expanding, then it must have a body or a something that binds it such that it can expand.
That the whole concept of expansion says that it has a given existence that changes.
That's right. So now we can say that if science is saying that because of the red shift, that the universe is expanding, and because of a Big Bang beginning, that automatically, in that regard, says that the universe is not infinite in that regard, or it can't expand, and that it must have limits, and it's merely expanding its limits. Well, what are the limits of you? The limits of you are the skin of your body. What's the limits of the universe? The skin of its body. The universe, in that regard, has an equivalent body that it, or has a body that is somehow or other equivalent to you and your body. Is that reasonable just for conversation?
That's reasonable, yeah.
Okay. The question is, if then it's reasonable that the universe has a body, what body might it have? Well, I think I talked about at one time that the science talked about the ether of the universe, that in order for light to go from way out there to way in here, when light was a wave, then there had to be an ether for waves to move through. And then a guy says, no, you're wrong. Light is a particle. So all of a sudden we have photons of light and we have waves of light. And everybody says, oh, applause. Now we don't need the ether at all, because a particle can pass over empty space. Well then, Einstein come along and said, well, wait a minute now, folks. You can bend space. I don't know how you do that. You can tunnel through space. I don't know how you do that. And everybody says, oh, well, that must mean that space is full of something. Well, wait a minute. If it's full of something, then it is the something. It is in space. And the ether then, in that, what could it be full of? And I could go into a long explanation, but let's say that what we think within the universe was ether, and which Einstein made space-time, is in fact memory. M-E-M-O-R-Y, not I-E-S. Memory as a substance, as a thing, could act as a wave. Why, you could bend memories. You could do everything that Einstein ever said about space. So, is it possible then that memory is the skin, the body of the universe? And we can expand memory, we can contract memory. Everything we say about the space within the universe, we can do. But now it becomes understandable, does it not? The universe lives within an environment of memory, not mind, but close. But a very important difference. Because memory has nothing to do with mind, per se, the way I think you're using it. But then that it exists in an environment of memory, then memory is the body of the universe. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does.
What if? What if then at death, and you get rid of this physical body or it decomposes, you have a body of memory. And that you exist in memory, but you do not exist in memories S. You've given up the body of memories for a body of memory. Does that make any difference to you?
I think so.
Well, wait just a minute. Is it possible that the you we are talking about, which has nothing to do with your physical body, is in fact a you of memory? M-E-M-O-R-Y. Is that okay? Well, then it would seem to be, wouldn't it be right for me to understand myself and my body of memory and enliven that memory in myself today so that I've enlivened my memory body to continue my body of memories S today? Does that make sense?
Can you say that again, please?
Would it not be, if you've got a loner body and the physical body is a body of memories S, which it is, and yourself is a self of memories S, and your beliefs and your thought and your thinking and your doing and your experience is all a loner body or environment of memories S, and the real you is a body of memory Y, a self of memory Y, and beliefs, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions of memory Y. Wouldn't it then be wise to live by memory Y today? You don't have to only live by memory. You can let your body, when you change it, live by memories, and you, the you in your physical body, live by both memories and or memory. Memory is your provenance. But can we then say that in doing that, you are awarefully creating in your mortal life today your eternal awareness of yourself in terms of memory, and that you live the memory, not the self. And that you have then in this life today awakened yourself to the body and the self and the environment of your life after death. And what if from that then we can say that isn't it likely that no matter who or what you are today is almost insignificant or doesn't matter relative, like Patrick, doesn't matter relative to the self of memory? Because I didn't say you don't exist. Nothing exists. I said you don't not exist. If you put yourself awarefully into the body of memory Y and live memory Y. Hello, anybody?
You have painted a very attractive picture.
But I've been saying that for years. Ever since I first brought up memory versus memories. And what I said was that you in your life today and in your body and your awarenesses, you let your memories S block your awareness from memory Y. You have to get through that. You've built a wall of memories then that block you from your memory why. Then I set it up as a provenance so that you would understand what memory why was all about. Nobody wanted to care about that. So, okay, we dumped provenance as a conversation. But would you then like to go back to discussing memory and bringing memory, that's the long view, the extensive view, the expansive view of yourself. That may include yourself or may not, but it could include yourself if you like yourself today. If you were living yourself and life today from a perspective or a point in your life today that includes memory.
We got a question. That when I die, does there a particular or some kind of particularization of memory that continues, or does all the memory build up that was generated through my life just merge with memory? Or is there another?
No, you're going to have to repeat that. Because you're going to have to tell me each time whether you're saying Y or S.
Okay. Now, when I die, or when you die, doesn't matter, when a human being dies, there, I presume then that there has been an addition of particular memory Y to memory, the broader context.
Wait a minute, you gotta tell me what you're saying. Memories S?
Memory Y. I'm referring specifically to memory Y.
Okay.
And so that the body decomposes, however, out of that lifetime, the memory why, the collection of the what occurred, has
Wait a minute. Whoa. Pass. When you said you intermixed memory why and memory zest, when you said a collection of what occurred, I've never...
I thought that was a distinction you'd always told us. How I feel about it is all the memories, Y-E-I-E-S, and what actually occurred is memory.
But then, that's true, but you don't have any memories, S, of what occurred. Your memories got in the way and created a false image or picture of what occurred in that regard at all. So then you're saying that is there a correct, true memory why as to what occurred? It's an interesting question. I'm not too sure that I would fall down on either particular side about that, but that is a thing. If you've created false memories, then are the false memories imposed upon memory?
I had never thought that occurred.
Well, but what I really said in all of that was that I said memory Y is of a whole, because of the way it's stored and recalled, memory Y is the whole of something, yes, and memories S are stored in parts and pieces. So memory S in that regard is assembled in an incorrect whole. And
it's
then
the important distinction.
Huh?
Now that's an important distinction. So is it true to suggest then that as I live my life, I am generating, I guess, quite literally, a memories-Y body and a memories-IES body, although I don't know, yes, that would continue through any genes that I happen to share with some woman.
That's right, but your Y body may be a whole different concept of your body than your S body.
Yes.
And what you're saying, if I die and my S body is decomposed, does that clearly reveal my Y body? And I had said before yes, but when you bring this up, it is questionable as to whether there's any interference of S's over Y's. I hadn't thought about that. I had always assumed no, there was no interference, but maybe there is. But go ahead.
Yes. Well, then let's leave the interference part of it aside for the moment. That then the memory Y body that I've generated in this lifetime upon death, does that remain as some kind of coherent thing, or is it merged into memory Y, the broad big memory?
Okay, we don't want to follow you merge into the collective unconscious. Now let me repeat something. If memory Y creates a body of the universe, so that we can then you could even measure the universe, because if it's expanding, we can measure it and then see its expansioning in that regard. Is that okay?
Yes.
Is it possible then that the you, which isn't you, but the accumulation of memory Y that is you, serves as a body or a distinction of you within the universe of an environment of memory?
I think that's possible, yes.
Okay, so then what we're saying, then, yes, but you don't exist because the you that you know is only memories. But the why does exist, but you may or may not be able to bring that to the foreground in, say, another incarnation or life without a way of recalling memory. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And if you... So that...
Are we moving to the decode ring?
What?
Are we moving towards the decode ring after a fashion?
That's right. Which we brought up when we said you had to encode in a certain way for holographic patterning in that regard, then you have to have a decode ring. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it that, of what I have said, you might call upon to be an encode or a decode key?
That would be my motif, and then the M prize that I follow.
You see? And if you don't live or create that M prize in that regard and aware of that, then you can't decode you.
I can never pull it out of memory.
That's right.
Son of a bitch. Sorry, ladies.
But do you see why I said And so that means you're living a life. The M prize then is your deco. What I am doing is all and even beyond this lifetime, discovering how the universe works and telling people or not, whatever the case may be. That's my decode ring, is it not?
It is.
Supposing then, 30 years from now, oh no, I better not, I have to go more than that. Miss M wants me to live 30 years more. 70 or 80 years from now, then, if I started living that decode key, then everything based on that decode key that is in memory, I could be a part of me then. I could true listen that. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So that then when I would, 80 years from now or whatever, be working on that, all of the information that I am doing today, that's why I said, I don't really care whether you get this, I've got it. And I've got my decode key. So I can recall it and use it, and that's okay. Is this all right?
Yeah.
Now, then what, and what I said before, I started this in the long ago, when the word purpose was, everybody, what is your purpose? Okay. So we talked about what is your purpose relative to longer than just this lifetime. What is your eternal purpose? That's the same thing. When you live that, you are creating your encode key, everything relative to that purpose, and then that purpose is your decode key to bring that out of memory. And then that M prize then is kind of like setting your memory Y into that form and nature. That becomes the nature of you, the very essence of you. But that has nothing to do then with you today as Patrick.
Well, I can see that. That's absolutely true. And in living my M prize today, I'm loading into memory something that someone else can decode
as well. They can, knowing the same decode, they can decode that as well. The same as we can create any holographic image simply by knowing the encode key of setting that up in the first place and creating that on film, we can take then any part of that film, like the memory of the whole universe, I can take any part of that, knowing the decode key, and recreate the image, could I not?
Yep.
So that then, like the whole film, a holographic film, is like a broadening out of your M prize at a certain encode key, then you could decode that out, and you've, the, like the film has dimensions, your memory then sets that into the body of you. The body of you is that M prize.
Absolutely.
You see?
Yeah.
So you can understand then, okay, then that M prize is what continues. I do not, but my M prize becomes me, yet it is far more than me. And the reason that it's far more than you, because when you say, oh, wait a minute, then anybody who knows your decode key can get that information. Yeah. But you can get the information knowing that decode key, any other person ever in life who has ever lived that or a similar decode key, you can tap into that information. Is that okay?
That's just fabulous. Thank you.
So when we talk about, listen very carefully, when I talked about years ago, 2 + 3 = 5, 5 is your encode key and your decode key. That is your emprise. And anybody else living the same emprise, creating the same encode decode key, you have access to that information, or that individual, however you want to look at it, or that provenance of that individual, do you not?
Absolutely.
And 5 then is the encode decode key that is you.
And that's my emprise.
And that's your emprise. And if you don't do that, if you're just living, oh well, today, tomorrow, and whatever's going on, then those are memories that dissipate and decompose. And whatever memory you may or may not have had, you don't have access to that. Why not?
Because it's scattered.
Because you spent your whole time living your loner self, which, and focused on your loner self. You had not gone past your loner self to say, to change my loner body to myself so that I have the awareness of my long-standing encode-decode key. So you didn't bring the essence or the true nature of you into this lifetime to carry that on. Are we okay?
Oh, you're knitting together a picture that is very clear for me.
But the point is, then, that's just part of this right now. But doesn't that give you a more complicated, but it's very simple. Let me see now. Wait a minute. I think I tried to express this in 95 as, don't ever do anything other than that which you'd be willing to do eternally. Wait a minute. Eternally, that would be like an emprise. So that everything you're doing, you're living your emprise no matter what it is. And in that, then, that is your encode decode key. That is your memory why. And that memory why is you. So we've come back full circle. We've come back full circle to begin again. Is this all right? Well, if we're going to begin again, it's now. I don't think I want to get it. We were going to go from here into the authority of self. If you now understand that, doesn't that, in a sense, completely delete everything religion has said about God and have the whole authority for yourself and life back to you? And doesn't that give you the whole authority of your eternal self back to you?
Yeah, as you so often said, we got to have a context for any of this to make sense. And right now, I feel I have a context that its authority is all the authority itself. All of a sudden, has a lot more sense.
That's right, and it's the authority of you. It doesn't mean any authority over anyone else. It's the authority for you to create the end prize and live the end prize, and to then in just for instance, let's say now you say to me, well, how am I going to change this goddamn loner self and loner body? How am I going to know to do that? Well, from what we have said so far, if you would take some time to say, I'll only do those things which I would be willing to be and do and live eternally, if you did that, you would soon quickly realize the emprise or the incodico key that you have been building and either denying most of the time, but building from long ago, would you not?
And then there's the Bible piece here too, isn't there, that make that statement, but then that my actions always follow through on that.
Well, just as a starter, I'll read the first passage of the authority itself, which says, long ago, far, far away, and also in distant lands, that's important, there were places where people believed everything was divine, such that there was no separation between spirit and matter. Physical was merely an illuminated form of spirit, and all individuals divine in their own authority. And people were taught not to do anything they did not want the world to do. See, that's entirely different than do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But following the awareness that the universe is reactive and will only react not to what you say you want, believe, prayers, ask for, or anything else, but will act upon as you command everything you do, then the point of the authority is don't do anything you don't want the universe to do.
And you said it's complicated.
Huh?
And you said it's complicated.
That's right, it's so simple. And it is a constant reminder of this authority. Everyone was given a muse, or God as a creative spirit, or inspiration to force, like a talisman. I'm going to give you a little talisman in that regard, to as an inspiration to remind you of your authority to command the universe by what you do, but don't do anything you don't want the universe to do. See how simple all that is?
Yep.
And then if you then say, well, wait a minute, if then I only do those things that I would be willing to do eternally and have done unto me eternally, then you can see that you can immediately see and experience your emprise, your five, your muse, your inspiration, and God in that, which we'll go over all this later on, God in that was your inspiration for the self and life you're living. Is that okay?
That's pretty darn neat.
What did you mean when you said in the first part of that passage, time ago in distant lands, you stopped and said that was important? Why?
Because that occurred long ago and far, far away off of this planet, and also in distant lands on this planet.
Oh, okay.
So this authority of self, which I brought up as authority, but nobody was interested in that, how it was bastardized as it moved across various lands in that regard. But it was also lived in the time of Israel. So it occurred in several this district lands in the East.
Is that something you, like you quoted in that article?
Well, I'm getting too much rain now, so we better cool it. Next week, now, all I'm doing is saying, if you've recorded this, you can remember this, can you, this that I have said to you today, Patrick, is my image of life, and everything I say hangs on that image.
I have that context now, thank you.
Now, you don't want to live that concept. And what we're doing that is then say, well, if you really want to have the afterlife that you truly desire, then there are certain things you need to do today to give you, as we talked about years and years ago, as a hologram, give yourself an intro to the details to you. And now we have too much noise, Roger. Say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Bye now.